season of the One Board Podcast is brought to you by Bellwether Games. Discover joy when you play one of their expanding lineup of fun and diverse games. Bellwether Games are both high quality and enjoyable for the whole family. Visit bellwethergames.com to explore all their titles and find a new addition for your collection today. Hello and welcome to the One Board Podcast. This is your host, Ryan Gutowski. Joining me today, of course, is Rick White, the only man to ever build a home out of dice. How are you doing, Rick?
I'm doing very well. Yes, my dice house is still standing. It is, to be fair, it's only 4 foot tall, but it did take quite a few dice.
The pictures make it look so much bigger, though.
Yes, I'm actually just really good with Photoshop.
Oh, yeah, good.
I'm imagining, like, how would you do... I mean, that would be kind of cool for a second, but that is a lot of building materials. That seems to be a very inefficient way to put a house together.
Isn't it just, like, not cold igloos? Like, wouldn't that just be a not cold igloo?
I mean, I think it would be more of a itty-bitty-bitty... bricks, like that's essentially what you're
little
using.
Tiny bricks,
and our mortar is as thick as the bricks themselves.
Oh, the logistics
of this just aren't working for me.
Dice will never be a legit building material, I guess.
No.
So, Rick, we always chat about what we've been playing, and Rick, what have you been playing this week, man?
Ryan, I've been disappointing the last few weeks because my schedule has prevented me from having as much gaming time, but this weekend I was able to finally have a little game night with some of my teacher friends, and so I have stuff to actually talk about, Ryan.
This is really exciting.
I'm really excited. So I had some of my friends from where I used to work come over that I've played with games with a few times, and then one of my
old friends, yes. Yeah.
And then my one of my coworkers at my current job came as well, so had that, you know, fun cross friends crossing paths thing where, you know, you're worried, is this gonna happen, is this gonna be weird, is it gonna, you know, get awkward, I don't even know what's gonna happen. But no, we had nachos and edible cookie dough dessert things, so that definitely helped to make things wonderful.
I feel like the cookie dough and the nachos kind of smooth things over.
Oh, it's the mortar
to your friendship,
to your dice building. Yes. So the first game that we played was Marrying Mr. Darcy, which I actually reviewed a while back on One Board Family. Marrying Mr. Darcy is a card game based on Pride and Prejudice. And when I say that, you know, some of you might be like, that it sounds awful. The only memory you have is Pride and Prejudice. I had to read that in high school, and I hated it. Did you have to read that, Ryan?
I did not have to read it. That's why I don't have a solid opinion about it.
Were books invented back when you were in high school?
They were not, actually. I've heard that they have some good material in there.
Oh, okay, there you go. But it's actually a pretty fun game. It's all about each of you takes on one of the female characters in the game, in the book, and there's 8 different options you have to choose from, and they have different characteristics. Some of them can do special things on their turn, and you're trying to, over the course of the game, make yourself a viable bride for one of the 6 suitors who are the men in the game. And when you read that, it might sound completely ridiculous. It might sound, you know, misogynist or something like that. Who knows how you feel about it? But it really does kind of cater to the theme of the book and go with the ridiculousness of the era. I think probably better than a game that, you know, we talked about a couple weeks ago, Ladies and Gentlemen, because you'll draw events. There's a big giant event deck in your turn. You just draw one and do what it says. So one of them will be like, your sister embarrassed you in front of the militia, discard one card, or our favorites are always the party cards where you draw it and you have to roll a die and different things can happen based on the result. Like, you couldn't find a dance partner, sit this one out, or, you dance with Mr. Darcy. He says you have a fine figure, draw 2 cards, play 2 cards. So it's a little bit ridiculous and we laughed and enjoyed ourselves. And that was a pretty good one to start the night.
Is there a card where you just offer him hot wings and say, here are hot wings, blue cheese, put a ring on it? Is that,
that
one
is
of the
not,
options?
That is not one of the options,
Does the game lend itself to having a custom card made?
Do you want to make a hot wings card?
Yeah, I feel like that's the only way to play this game.
Totally. There are two expansions for this. They did come out with a Pride and Prejudice and Zombies expansion.
There we go.
Which was a book that was written a few years ago. And then they came out with an Emma expansion, which is another Jane Austen book. So it's a pretty fun game. I must say, I have played it a handful of times, and it's always pretty popular. And then we played a game I had not played yet, which is called Rhino Hero. Have you heard of Rhino Hero?
Yes, I know about Rhino Hero. Have not played it though. That is a great Haba family game that
yes.
everybody loves.
Yes, and you know, when you get out the materials, it definitely looks like a little kid's game. Because that's what it's intended for, but very quickly it turned into something that was quite popular with the gaming group. So basically, you are given five cards that represent roof tiles, and then there's another set of cards that are foldable in the middle that are used to build the walls. So it starts with a foundation card, and on each card, on the foundation and the roof cards, it tells you how to arrange the walls on top of it. So you'll arrange the walls and put another roof card on top of it that the next player must then build the walls and put another roof on top of. So basically, you're building a structure out of cards, and there are different, some of the cards have different things, like the next player has to draw an extra card, or you get to put down two cards. The best one is the rhino cards, which the game comes with a tiny little rhino figurine that you have to put onto the roof before you can start building your walls. So you may have to grab it from one of the other floors and then put it on top of your building, and it can really throw off the balance. It's a really fun game. It plays within 5 to 10 minutes, and we played three rounds of it very quickly. That was a really fun game for us to break out, and all the teachers were saying that they wanted to get copies of it for their classroom because they enjoyed it, and they're pretty sure that younger kids and like their students who range anywhere from 4th grade to 7th grade would enjoy it.
And also, they've got, I think there's Super Rhino Hero, and then there's also Rhino Hero Duel, I want to say. I think that's the newer one. But there's, I think that one is a multiplayer, like, battle type of game using the same mechanics. But I've heard really good, the whole Rhino Hero line from Haba Games is definitely something that, especially if you have younger kids, that is a game that you must own.
Right, and I think it's pretty cheap, too. I think I'm going to Google. I'm Amazoning right now, Ryan. Doing it right now. $15 for Rhino Hero. And then there's something, Rhino Hero Super Battle is another one that's $30.
Okay,
and
Super
I think
Battle,
that's the
yeah.
one. Yeah, I think that one is much larger. This one, like
yeah.
the cards that we're using were just normal, like, playing card size. Yeah, Rhino Super Battle is a lot bigger pieces, so you know that could be fun
okay.
too. But I don't think you would go wrong by getting your hands on Rhino Hero.
Yep, that's cool. That's awesome, man. Very cool.
Yeah, game night.
That's sweet. We had a little bit of a game night over here on Saturday. Played some Quest for El Dorado. Play some Azul. Both games that I've talked about in the past, and we really love. Quest for El Dorado is just such a good game to teach new gamers or people who are just getting into deck building, stuff like that. I think that's such a accessible game for kids and adults alike. Quest for El Dorado is the Reiner Knizia game that came out last year and that we've really, really enjoyed. You're basically racing from one end of the map, and you build the map. The setup time takes about 10 minutes because you've got to kind of build the map from some of the instructions that are on the, you've got, I think, 7 or 8 different configurations you can go with, and you can also make your own if you kind of look at how the map should be laid out. But it's a really cool game. You're racing from one end to the other, collecting cards buying cards along the way to go the best routes you can. And one of the things that I like about Quest for El Dorado is that you can block people by standing in their way, or if you legitimately get stuck, you end up blocking up the lanes to get to El Dorado. So that can be, that can kind of be tough. We had a lot of fun playing that with some friends this weekend. And then Super Fight. Did I mention to you about Super Fight?
Yeah, I'd heard. I remember you mentioning that. And I've actually, one of my students back when I taught at Cliff Valley had it. So we played it, as the seventh graders loved that game.
Yeah. I think it's just that preteen, teenage, like, this is such a ridiculous game, and it fits right in there. So Friday night, I'd taken my daughter to a little sock hop thing that she had at her school, and then we came back to the house, and we were just sitting around, and I said, hey, do you guys want to bust out Super Fight and play? And both Josiah and Kendall were like, yeah, let's do it, let's do it. So we got into it, and man, that game kept us laughing for 30 minutes solid. One of the most interesting battles that we had was Josiah laid down a card that he was allowed to pick any any superhero that he wants. So any comic book character, that's what it was. So of course we have just seen Avengers, and so he picks Thanos, and he chooses Thanos because this had happened in an earlier game. He picks Thanos with the Infinity Gauntlet. So obviously we all know how this is going to go.
Well,
yeah, it's going to go real well for everybody else. So Kendall is Google. I don't know why, out of all I think she had a choice between vampire, Google, and something else. So she's Google because her premise was that because I'm Google, I can order anything on the internet.
She's,
and that means
wrong,
that I can defeat you. So she was Google, but she was also stating the fact that she could also use Amazon to just buy weapons to kill people. I'm like, don't know if that's how it works. And then, of course, I'm stuck with Justin Bieber with hands full of butter.
That's really weird.
Character.
So Butter Bieber?
I'm a Butter Bieber.
Butter Bieber.
So I was Justin Bieber with butter hands, and my only thought is I gotta stick them butter hands down inside that Infinity Gauntlet. That's the only way to get it off, right? Get that butter deep inside that gauntlet. So that's what I was trying to throw out the premise for, that I was gonna stick my butter hands down inside his glove. It was not happening, and Josiah ended up winning the last match. So, feel like it was a lot of fun, though. It's definitely a ridiculous game. So,
it is definitely ridiculous, and I think it involves it requires creative people. So, if it's
it really does.
One of those, if you don't have that particular skill set in your playgroup, then it might be one that you need to go ahead and skip over.
Yeah, that's true, because if you can't make it stretch going from like, oh, well, why would this work, or why would this not work, or how would this person defeat this person? I mean, you gotta just come up with some ridiculous stories. So and then I think the last thing on Sunday we got to play, actually some other friends came over Sunday afternoon, and they brought over Rick and Morty Total Recall. Have you played that one?
No. It's a good name, though.
Yeah. It's not really. It's from Rick and Morty cartoon, obviously, and then one of the episodes was called Total Recall. And so it's a cooperative game. I actually kind of liked it. It's not really a family-friendly game, even though Josiah played with us.
Rick and Morty, I would not think would be.
Yeah, it's not one that we're going to own, but it's actually pretty fun to play. Everybody is working together and trying to kill the parasites, but save the humans. So when you get to the point where you can actually say legitimately, hey, all humans are on the table, we don't have any parasites on the table, let's get out, you know, and people agree, at least 50% of the people at the table agree, then you're good to go. If any parasite survives, then you lose. And if you kill four real people, you lose. So it's a balance. I kind of like the way that the cooperative gameplay works, because you kind of have to look at who's in line. Like if you just start shooting characters without having additional information, the game ends real quick. But we ended up doing really well. We ended up sort of making sure that everybody was a real person and killing all the parasites. So it was a lot of fun. We had a good time with it. About 30 minutes long, cooperative game. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Nice. Throw out some Rick and Morty there. Awesome. Well, Ryan, I think, you know, we've given some insight on some games that, you know, maybe some folks haven't heard of. And so maybe people will be able to check some of those out and get some of those to their own table. But we're going to actually continue with that and get into our top five list right after this break. So we hope you'll stick around. Ryan, we are back, and this week's top five list is going to be top five games with ridiculous themes. You know, we've got a lot of games out there that have themes about trains or themes about, you know, fantasy warriors, and you're trying to fight them. But every now and then we come across a game that's really about something you don't see that often. So we want to make sure to highlight those this week so that people can get these strange and somewhat entertaining games.
And these are just the ones table. These are just the ones that we've played and we know. Obviously there's probably some ridiculous game that we've never heard of before that somebody has sitting in their basement, but it's not on this list. So
right. And you know, there's a bunch of games that have been made throughout history, you know, back when you could just throw anything. I think I saw a Rodney Dangerfield game or something like that. We're not really going to venture into that too much, though we do have one somewhat older game on this list, but we've got a few options here that we think will be pretty interesting and maybe games that you haven't heard of yet. So Ryan, what do you want to start us off with today?
Let's talk about babies, Rick.
Let's talk about babies.
Let's talk about them babies. So I'm going to bring Bears versus Babies to the table, and you're going to bring what to the table?
Ryan, I am going to bring Evil Baby Orphanage to the table.
This is good. This is good.
Oh, yeah.
This is almost like one of those combo, even though this is a list of five, we kind of snuck a sixth one in there, you know?
There you go.
So Bears versus Babies, essentially, you are creating a monster, not necessarily a bear, but it could be a bear. It could be a bear with a chainsaw arm. It could be a bear wearing a tutu. It could be a bear with whale legs. Whatever.
If it's not a bear, what might it be?
It could be a, what is it? What are some crab monster? I don't know. I can't remember some of the top halves. I can't remember some of them. Anyway, so it's a monster versus babies. And the reason why this is such a ridiculous game is that the babies have gone into their, I guess, their selective groups of the red team, the blue team is the babies that are like water-based creatures, water-based babies. And then you've got, what's the other one? Green. Oh, the land babies. Anyway, so these are, they're ridiculous babies. And these babies are teaming up trying to take you down. And so the monsters, if there's a stack of too many babies on the table, those babies can attack a monster and they can overpower the monster and destroy it. Your job is to build a monster that will destroy the baby armies. The artwork is from The Oatmeal, which you might know from a game like Exploding Kittens. That it's a ridiculous game. And it's got a ridiculous theme. It's not the greatest game in the world. I'm not going to lie to you. I got it, and I was kind of disappointed. Not going to lie.
Sorry to hear
that. It's okay. It's fine. I think the novelty of it is far better than the gameplay. But there's still, like, laughs to be had. Like, we've had a couple good games with it. But, I mean, it's not a game you're going to play very often.
Yeah, and I think Evil Baby Orphanage kind of falls in the same vein as far as not being all that great. In fact, its ranking on Board Game Geek is 14,954, which is pretty low, Ryan. But I had a copy of this game and ended up selling it at one of the Atlanta Game Fest flea markets, and I'm kind of regretting it because now the cheapest one I'm finding is selling for $50. I think I sold mine for like $5.
What?
I know. But basically in Evil Baby Orphanage, there are a bunch of like what we would consider evil people. You know, we think of all the evil people throughout history, and it might be strange to think that like all these people were at one point babies. You know, like they were all babies previously, and you know, were they cute little things or were they, you know, evil babies? Well, in this game, we're assuming that they are mischievous little little boogers, and so there are baby versions of people that throughout history weren't all that great. Like, you know, there's a evil Hitler baby, and there is an evil Genghis Khan baby. My favorite baby by far and away is the Rutherford B. Hayes baby.
Nice.
And each baby has like a description. But Rutherford B. Hayes is, just says he knows what he did. And that's all it says.
That's so funny.
I'm a bit of a presidential buff. I think that's hilarious. There
that's
is
awesome.
No, for those of you that have no idea, there is no real reason for Rutherford B. Hayes to be in the game. He's not really an evil person. I think that game is hilarious. Or maybe these people that made this game do think he's evil. But anyway, your job is to give, to use toys to get babies to be happy as you keep them. And you try to get enough babies to have a certain number of mischief points. You know, it might seem a little bit weird of a theme. Some people might even venture to say it's a little bit inappropriate. The gameplay itself takes forever because there's not a lot of balance to the game. But I do think, like, I've seen a lot of rules variants, and I'm convinced that there's a good game underlying here somewhere, that the components are there. And it's just such a good laugh when you play it. And so I'm hoping to get my hands on a copy again one day. Just for the fact of breaking out that Rutherford B. Hayes card. It's just so funny.
That's awesome. That's really funny. So the next one on our list is actually a game I don't know very much about, but you do, Rick.
Yes, the next game on our list is Unexploded Cow, a game that I have unfortunately not gotten the chance to play yet, but I do own. So kind of the opposite there of Evil Baby Orphanage. But Unexploded Cow... its setting is Europe in the summer of 1997. This game was made back in
97.
Yeah, this game is actually made in 2001, so it's pretty old compared to some of the games we talk about. Excuse me, my dog just unplugged my phone. He reached up, he swiped at the cord and unplugged my phone as if to say, stop talking in it and pay attention to me. So give me just a second.
Yeah, cord cutting dogs.
Yes, my dog is a jerk sometimes. No, but Unexploding Cow has you in the summer of 97 dealing with two problems. Unexploded World War II mines in France and cows that have mad cow disease. So your job is to use these cows to blow up the mines and to earn money when they blow up. And so each player is going to lay out a herd for themselves, and then you roll a die, which helps determine which cow is going to explode. Sometimes it might explode your opponent's cows, which can be good for you or bad for you. There's a little bit of strategy involved. But really, the whole thing is a fairly ridiculous idea of, here are some cows. They have mad cow disease. Let's blow them up. So,
do you think that the mad cow disease came as an effect of somebody playtesting it and being like, but I love cows. And then they immediately, during the playtest, was like, but these all have mad cow disease. And they were like, oh, well, we got to kill them.
Right. We don't want the other cows that we love to get the... to get the mad cow disease. So
that's right.
Yeah, and I have not played it, as I mentioned, but it seems to play pretty quickly. And there's, you know, some light interaction. It's actually got a decent rating, you know, much better than Evil Baby Orphanage. So one that I'm definitely looking to get to the table at some point in the near future. So Unexploded Cow, another game with a completely ridiculous theme.
Well, one game that you will not want to get to the table is one from my childhood, Strangers and Dangers.
I'm so excited about this.
How my parents got a hold of Strangers and Dangers, I don't know. The game has a very colorful front cover. It essentially looks like something like Chutes and Ladders or something like that. Like, it's got some weird looking kids on it where I don't know if the two kids are winking or if they have some sort of like eye disease where one of their eyes is permanently closed and one of them, you know,
it's
what,
floating outside of their head.
Yeah, one eyeball is floating outside of their head and their heads are all like weird triangle shapes. Anyway, you'll see this because I'm going to add it into the link of this podcast entry, because it is a ridiculous game. Yes. Strangers in Dangers, the company that's credited for it is MITI Games, Mighty Games, maybe. I don't know like how this game came about, but doing a little bit of research online, this was basically a way for police departments to teach basic rules and safety for kids. It is a horrific game. It is, first of all, the gameplay is that you spin a spinner and then you go on
this line.
It's like, yeah, it's a little colored line. It's like, oh, I go to blue.
Kind of Candyland style.
It's Candyland style. But the problem is that you have these little pathways that you could take, little shortcuts. And if you take the shortcut and you do a perfect spin, like, you can get to the end of the shortcut and just cut out a whole section of the game, which is pretty awesome. But what happens, Rick, ask me what happens if you don't do a perfect spin and you land in that weird shortcut area.
Ryan, I'm scared to ask, but please tell me what happens if you don't properly use the shortcut.
If you don't properly use the shortcut, you got to pull a card off the deck. Do you know what's in that deck of cards?
Murderers.
Broken glass that can cut you. People pulling up in vans offering candy. Strangers in alleyways. Even strangers that touch you. This is a game that exists.
I'm looking at the game board now. It seems like one of the sub themes of this is that if you wear sunglasses, you are evil. Like, that seems to be a thing. All the bad guys are wearing sunglasses.
All the bad guys have trench coats, hats, and sunglasses. So as a child, and that's where my irrational fear of people with trench coats, sunglasses, and hats comes from. Now, you know, when we went to go see that movie that one time, I was like, I got to get out of here. I can't be here.
Right. I mean, to be fair, like, if I see a guy in trench coat, a hat, and sunglasses, like, I will immediately assume he's up to no good. So yeah, I don't think that was training from this game, but maybe just from media in general, I've learned that.
Yeah. But Strangers in Dangers, the whole theme is to scare children not to take shortcuts through people's yards and stuff, because they're going to get broken glass, they're going to get touched, and they're probably going to get abducted in a van.
I like how these shortcuts are, like, in a neighborhood. So, like, you just, in most neighborhoods around town, there are people in trench coats that, you know, between your friend Billy and your friend Judy's house, there's this weird guy in a trench coat with sunglasses that they just let hang out there.
Do you see the shortcut where you can go through the sewage line?
Yes, I do see that.
Okay, yeah, that can also happen. So, this is a real weird game, man.
I think this needs to be something that Restoration Games hits up. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, my goodness. The game is terrible. So the reason why I know this game is terrible is because as a child, I played it a lot, and I have fond memories of it. Like, I remember playing this a lot as a kid. Like, this was a real problem, the amount that I played this game. And then my brother went to an estate sale or something like that about a year ago. He found a copy of Strangers in Dangers that had water damage. He bought it, glued the paper back down to the board, and we sat there and played it for an agonizing 40 minutes. And I didn't make it halfway through the neighborhood. And it was really bad, man. Like, I was ready to throw out the window.
I think that's a live stream candidate is what I'm hearing from you right now.
Actually, if my brother still has it, let's live stream it.
That sounds wonderfully terrible.
I'll get a hold of my brother and see if he still has that copy. It is awful.
I love it.
All right.
Ryan, I'm going to skip to the last one on the list so that we can talk about the other one together. But one that's also on our list with ridiculous themes is Circus Flaccati. At least that's how I think you say it. Basically, Circus Flacati is a game in which you are compiling a flea circus. Now, I don't know if any other games involve fleas and you not trying to get rid of them, but Circus Flacati is a really funny game. There was a release. It's actually an older game. I think it came out in the 90s. And I am Googling that right now as we talk. 1998 it came out. And it's a game by a fairly famous designer, Reiner Knizia. Is that how you say his name? I always mess that up.
Reiner Knizia.
Yeah, that's much better than what I did. And there was like this nice cutesy art that they had at one point where, you know, these little cartoon fleas and that's good enough. But one thing I think that adds to the ridiculousness of this theme is the reprint that I have a copy of, which makes it, they basically took old timey like circus pictures and they put pictures of like a scientific looking flea's head on them. So
it
like
is horrifying. The
it
muscle
is
man
so
flea
great.
Is horrifying.
It makes me so happy. Because like, yeah, it has this kind of old timey feel. And then you're like, wait, what is it? Oh my gosh, that's a flea. And so yeah. Like there are 10 different things for your circus, like contortionists and acrobats and tamers and things like that. And your job is to get one of each of those particular types of cards in your hand so that you can have your circus. And I actually played this game today at my school with some of my students, and they seem to enjoy it. And it's actually a really quick game to pick up. I have played this game 27 times, according to Board Game Geek. So it's one that has been really popular and one
that's a lot of times
that I feel I can break out pretty easily with groups. There are some people that like are freaked out, like legit, by the artwork. But I think it's pretty funny, and I think it's something that if you check it out and you're like, you're either going to love it or hate it kind of deal. So, That can be one that people check out. Circus Flacati, Flocati, for those of you that want to Google.
And you actually have a review for this one. I remember when you posted the review on One Board Family, I was like, what is wrong with you that you would review this game with those weird looking cards? I thought you had found it like at a yard sale somewhere and there were two copies of it. I didn't know it was a like a legit game.
Yes, so. It's pretty cool. You know, yeah, I like it.
Very cool. And our last one on the list for ridiculous themes is Magic Maze. This is a newer game published by Dude Games. And actually, Magic Maze is one that the Family Gamers, the Family Gamers podcast, Andrew and Anitra, they actually told us about this game and how amazing it is. And it almost won the Spiel des Jahres last year. It was up against King Domino, and actually King Domino took it. But Magic Maze has, you are a band of fantasy warriors. What are you, Rick?
You are dwarves. Well, there's a mage, a warrior, an elf, and a dwarf that are in a shopping mall.
As they do.
Because, you know, that's what happens. And they're going there to get equipment for their next adventure. And so you go around the shopping mall and then you steal the equipment and then you exit the shopping mall. Now, you know, again, warriors, elves, dwarves, those are all things that you'll see, but they're in a shopping mall. Like they could have totally done a more like fantasy themed, like you're in an open air market or like, you know, from some time or you're having to move around this land with all its obstacles and stuff like that. But they're like, not, we're doing a shopping mall. And I think it's hilarious. I mean, it's got escalators, it's got, you know, food courts and the art and stuff like that. It's hilarious.
As weird as the theme is, it works really well. It's a lot of fun. It's kind of a speed game because everybody's working. You're cooperating with each other, working together to get your people to get the resources you need and get out of the mall. But it's such a ridiculous thing because everybody's just kind of moving around all over the place.
Yeah, and the thing, you know, that makes it great is the not talking. And the fact that you're not actually in charge of a piece, you're in charge moving everything a direction. So, you know, we actually played this at the game night as well. And there are like 17 or something ridiculous, some ridiculous number of like options as far as like kind of almost expansions for the game. I have not yet made it past like the fourth with the people that I've played with. But we played it last night and it's intense. Like you'll find yourself really kind of having to focus and concentrate and try to get all the information in at once. It's a real-time game, and we've talked about how some people might hate that, but it's definitely one, if you enjoy real-time games and you enjoy kind of a different kind of gaming experience, this is one I think people should check out. Plus, the theme is pretty cool.
Yeah, this is one that we played with you at the Atlanta Sci-Fi Expo, Atlanta Sci-Fi and Fantasy Expo a couple of weeks ago or two months ago. And then you enjoyed it so much, you ended up picking up a copy of it right there. It is a really cool game, and it's family friendly, and it's something where you can play this game on whatever level you feel comfortable with, because the truth is, like, if you have a younger kid playing with you, you can communicate a little more. This way, get the kid used to it, get them to understand the mechanics of it. So it's definitely a game that changes with the audience that's playing.
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed playing that game with you guys. And yeah, you're right. I did go and pick it up immediately and have played it a few times since. It's a good one, and I'm glad it's a part of my collection. So, well, that's just five games. Well, I guess six, since we did kind of a two-in-one package there.
Yeah, but we kind of snuck one in there.
Yeah, but that is a good list of ridiculous themes. There's many more out there. And so if kind of having a fun, unique gameplay experience is something you're looking for, maybe check a couple of those out. And the other thing that's kind of cool is that a lot of these are kind of crossing genres, of games and different mechanics. So maybe you'll find something out there that you enjoy. Well, that's all we've got for this week, Ryan. And so we hope that you've heard about a game that you want to check out. And if new games is something you're on the lookout for, why don't you go over to oneboardfamily.com, where we've got a ton of reviews, a ton of articles there that you can check out, that you can learn about new games. Ryan, you just put up a couple this week, including Pocket Ops, which I enjoyed reading about and added to my list of games to buy immediately after reading your review.
Yeah, Pocket Ops is really fun. We actually got a note from Mark Spector from the Grand Gamers Guild, the publisher of Pocket Ops, just a little while ago on our Facebook page. So we really enjoy that game. It's a great two-player game, great pocket game, something to take with you on the go. And we also did a review for Deep Sea Adventure, which we've talked about on the show before, which our family loves. And Rick, the first time I ever played that was with you in Atlanta. And that's another great pocket size game. And actually, Barnes & Noble, I just saw this past weekend, Barnes & Noble has started carrying a line of Oink games. Oink makes these pocket size games, and they're gorgeous. They're minimalist art, and it's just really cool. So go visit your local Barnes & Noble and check out some of these Oink games.
Yeah, and so if you want to hear more about games like that, check us out on our website or on Facebook or Instagram. You just type in One Board Family and you'll find it. We're also on Twitter. We've got some YouTube videos, and hopefully we'll be coming out with a few more of those very soon. But the options are out there, so check them out. And Ryan, you know, until next time, and we'll be back next week, but until then, we will see you at the table.
Media,
where we all
bring something
to the table.
Pull up a chair
at punchboardmedia.com.